There's something missing and I'm lit and I got something to say.
Good evening and welcome to Trans Positive. Tonight we're going to be sharing our thoughts about the recent election results and what that means for the future of trans people in this country. So let's go around and introduce ourselves. I'm Nicolette and I use they, them pronouns.
My name is Emma and I use she, her pronouns.
I'm Sheila and I use she, her pronouns also.
Great. So where do we want to start?
Let's have a mourning ceremony first, and rent our clothes, you know, tear at our clothes and howl and mourn. I don't know. Where do we start?
Yeah, I know. In the past, we've talked on this show about what Project 2025 was going to mean for trans people. I mean, not only are they trying to strip away all gender affirming healthcare, but like they're basically trying to make it illegal to be trans, or at least to publicly be trans, because they're trying to label it as pornography and ban all public pornography. And then on top of that, we had the recent speech by Trump. Do you want to talk about that?
So this is the speech that he released on the day after the election. And I mean, Trump is, in particular, seems to be really obsessed with transgender people. And I have no idea why Trump is so obsessed with transgender people. I mean, I personally think that he's got some issues around gender identity and sexual orientation. And I think he's projecting onto other people. That's my own personal theory, because he seems obsessed with it. Anyway, so he says that he is going to try to pass a federal legislation to define gender as only male or female. So he's going to try to make it illegal for non-binary people to exist. And then on top of that, he says that with his legislation he's going to pass, which, I mean, he says a lot of things that never happen. And so you have to take everything that he says, like, and just kind of look at it. I mean, I can't believe that we even have to spend any time like listening to this clown or looking at anything he says. You know, I personally have spent most of the last 8 years trying to avoid his name. I won't say his name, and except occasionally. And I try not to listen to anything that he says. And that's personally how I plan on trying to get by the next 4 years. But we do have to pay attention to what he says, because people are going to try to do some of the things he says. And so they said that they're going to try to define gender according to your what it says on your birth certificate. So that's what they say. Now, for federal identity documents, what does this mean? It means that it could have an impact on your passport. It could have an impact, depending on what state you live in, on your driver's license or other identity cards that you have. So we do have to look at this. It's also going to affect your social security card. So we do have to look at this and, you know, at least take the threat seriously. I think that personally, he's going to have some problems trying to get anything done on his agenda. I mean, I think that he's a propagandist, and he spends a lot of time talking, but he's very ineffectual. I mean, almost everything he's done in his adult life, he's pretty much failed at. He's like driven lots of companies to bankruptcy, and he's a convicted felon. And I don't think that he's going to get much done He's already shown what an extremist he is. And I just think that when he actually tries to enact some of his policies, I really doubt that there's going to be much support for them. Now, with trans kids, what Trump is trying to do is he's trying to go after schools. And what he wants to do is he wants to withhold funding. This is what he's threatened. And this is straight out of Project 2025. But what he's threatening to do is he's threatening to withhold federal funding for schools that support transgender kids. So if there's a GSA at your school, if there's any kind of school counselor that counsels transgender kids, if there's any kind of medical services provided, such as hormone blockers, again, therapy, or any kind of positive psychological support or peer support that's offered for transgender kids, then he says that he's going to threaten to withhold federal funding for the entire school. So, this is what a cruel person this is, and this is like a sure sign that he is a fascist. Like, he wants to punish the entire school. It's called collective punishment. He wants to punish everybody in the school because transgender kids want to get some support so that they don't commit suicide. So he definitely, this is a big part of his agenda. And this, I mean, we have seen that in other states, there's been a lot of support among the right for the issue of like trying to take away the rights of trans kids. And it's because they don't understand it and they're being misinformed. They're being informed by organizations that have a specifically anti-trans agenda. So this is another one. I think one thing that he can do, which it's not just a threat. I mean, I think it's actually something he has the power to do, and it's really a problem, is that he wants to cut federal aid for Medicare and Medicaid programs. So if there's any kind of Medicaid programs that help to support gender affirming health care, he's going to go after that. And this is, I think, one of the first places we really need to look at, because this is one of our biggest weaknesses as a community. It's not that it's a weakness, but we're going to have to think as a community about how to work around this strategy, because what they want to do is basically, I mean, a huge number of transgender people who get their medical care get it through Medicare or Medicaid, because transgender people are historically underemployed or unemployed. When they do have jobs, they're usually very low-wage jobs. It's hard. There's a lot of states where people who are transgender don't have workplace protections, so it's hard accessing medical care. But since the creation of the Affordable Care Act, there's been a huge expansion in, transgender people having access to basic medical care. And for most transgender people, that just means being able to see a therapist, maybe get some hormones, have a few gender-affirming procedures. So this is a place where there's really a real threat for transgender people. The other place where there's really a threat straight off is for service members. Unfortunately, service members are really SCREWED. They really are, because the first thing that Trump is threatening to do is to remove, there's about 15,000 service members right now who are openly trans, and he wants to get them discharged, dishonorably discharged and removed from the military. And this is like really going to be the very front edge, actually, I think, is probably going to be service members. And unfortunately, he's probably going to put someone in as Secretary of Defense who's really going to push that. So we'll have to see what the military does, because, this is, I mean, I don't know. It would be like if you tried to tell any other protected class of people that suddenly they couldn't be in the military. I mean, people who are already enlisted, people who are already serving. And so we'll have to see. It would actually be good for, I mean, this is just the unfolding of something that we're going to have to cover for the next 4 years, unfortunately. So if there's still a KABU in 4 years, because unfortunately, he's also going after Corporation for Public Broadcasting. He wants to slash funds for public radio, And he wants to go after nonprofits that he identifies as supporting terrorists. So, for instance, KABU, which is the station that we're on, if they show anything like Democracy Now that tries to tell the truth about what's happening in Palestine and Gaza, then he wants to label KABU as a terrorist radio station and revoke their nonprofit status, which would basically put them out of business. So there's a lot of fronts we're going to have to be fighting on, and it's not just transgender issues. It's actually, a whole range of fronts, including reproductive health care, including immigrants' rights, and also definitely including protecting our trans kids. So that's what I know. Who wants to go next?
Yeah, no, you definitely bring up a lot of things that I'm concerned about. I'm a disabled person with a lot of physical and mental illness. I'm worried about what's going to happen to Medicare. I'm a social worker who works for a nonprofit organization. What if our organization just suddenly gets shut down? And then just the fact that it's affecting trans people alone, and even people assigned female at birth. I am very lucky that I got my tubes tied, so I'm not too worried right now. But if I hadn't, I would be so concerned about, what were to happen if I were to get pregnant and I couldn't get an abortion. What if I suddenly had my birth control taken away? I mean, there's a lot of scary things in the future, a lot of scary possibilities, at least, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think another thing that's really happening right now, ever since I've noticed ever since Trump got elected, again, there's been a lot of extremists coming out of the woodworks, Nazis, misogynists, transphobes, racists. They're all suddenly not afraid to hide who they are anymore, and they're becoming more and more outspoken. We've seen all these men lately, proudly saying, "Your body, my choice." In regards to women and AFAB people, basically implying that they're going to sexually assault them and not allow them to abort any pregnancies that happen. But I think that that's also happening to trans people as well. They're trying to prevent trans people from transitioning or presenting as the gender they identify as. And so they're even saying to us, "Your body, my choice."
So a couple of other areas that the administration is going to be trying to limit rights is going to be they're pulling out several old cards. These are cards that they've been playing for about 25 years, and we've through collective work we've basically been able to push back on every single one of these agendas that they've had, and we'll be able to push back again. I mean, there's a couple of, like, as we're having this conversation, I want to like always make sure to talk about all of the positive stuff that we have that's really going for us. I mean, we have organizations now that already have a lot of legislative experience, who have already got, I mean, remember that most of the rights that they're trying to take away are rights that we literally just got. So the people who fought for those rights are still there. I mean, the organizations that fought for them, such as the Center for Transgender Equality, and the Trans Law Center, those organizations are there, and they're going to be fighting. And in addition to that, we also have allies in the Democratic Party and in other parties, because we've built up this 20-year track record of advocating for our rights, figuring out how to maneuver through the healthcare system. And figuring out how to advocate for our rights. And in the process of doing that over the last 20 years, we've also trained an enormous number of skilled and effective advocates within our own community. I mean, I know several of them right here in Portland who are still around, who fought these battles 10 or 15 years ago to, for instance, get local health care providers to provide gender-affirming care. And those people are still here. And there's even more of us now who are in elected office, like Sarah McBride, the first trans woman who was elected to Congress. And that we have lots of trans folks who are in city councils and state legislatures around the country. So part of the reason they're pushing back so hard on this right now is because we've made so much progress. And so they're trying to undermine that progress. But we're not in the same place we were 20 years ago. You know, like, and so what I was going to talk about was the bathroom ban. So they want to do a federal bathroom ban. They want to make it illegal for transgender people to use the bathroom. Now, this is like so old hat. This is like something that they've been doing for, you know, since North Carolina and before North Carolina. This is like something that's just been the obsession of the Christian right for like 20 years. It's like, and we've done so many shows about this. I mean, there aren't any documented cases of transgender people attacking cisgender people in the bathroom. But there are lots of cases of cisgender people attacking transgender people for using the bathroom. So transgender people already know that they're taking a risk when they go use the bathroom, and they still use the bathroom anyways because they've got to pee just like everybody else. And they have a right, they have a legal right to use the bathroom. But, you know, the Speaker of the House is just obsessed with, he seems to be obsessed with Sarah McBride going to the bathroom. And so he's tried to make it illegal for Sarah McBride to use the bathroom at the House of Representatives. And she has to go, like, you know, all the way across the building back to her office just to use the bathroom. And they want to take away the right for trans people to use the bathroom in federal facilities, including things like airports, museums, you know, maybe national parks, you know, I mean, so this is like one of their agendas, and this is something that they probably can do, along with cutting Medicare and Medicaid, which unfortunately, I mean, I really hate to say this, but I mean, I fear that that's going to be the first thing that they'll actually achieve that's a meaningful rollback of our rights, is they're going to go after Medicare and Medicaid right away for gender affirming care. So we need to be prepared for that. I think that there's going to be a lot of workarounds on this. I mean, like here in Oregon, I think that there's probably going to be efforts at the Oregon State Legislature to try to find a workaround to federal Medicare and Medicaid dollars that are supposed to go to gender affirming healthcare. So I mean, I don't know exactly. This is something we're going to have to talk to our state representatives about. We're going to have to talk to the governor about. I mean, luckily, we live in a state that's really friendly to our side. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people coming to Oregon in the next 4 years, specifically seeking health care. And I think that the blue states are going to become sanctuary states for people who are trying to get gender-affirming health care, because I think that in those states, there are really going to be sincere efforts to try to do workarounds. And there's ways to do it. I mean, not all of the dollars that go into, you know, paying for like the health care for somebody come specifically from federal dollars. Some of those are state dollars. And this may actually push some states to do universal health care for their states, because there's actually been a lot of support. There's been a concerted movement among the states, in certain states, for the last 10 or 15 years for healthcare for all. And so if the federal government starts slashing healthcare for the disabled, for people who are gender, you know, who are seeking gender affirming care, for people seeking reproductive care, it could be enough to push some of the blue states to simply go around the federal government and to create their own, you know, to create their own single payer healthcare systems. So that's one way out of this. It's not a, like a quick fix right now, but it's something that I can definitely see on the horizon. So Sheila, we haven't heard from you yet, and I know you've got lots to say. So I really want to give you a lot of time because I know you've got stuff to say.
Well, thank you. This has been interesting so far because I think what I'm noticing is that these people are, with the famous phrase, feeling their oats right now. They consider that this is a triumph beyond their wildest dreams. They've rubbed the magic lamp, and the genie's going to give them everything they want, and they're going to put not even middle of the road people, but they're going to go right off the bat with some of the most ideological and often hate-filled people that they can possibly find. And there's a famous thing in physics that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And so the mere fact that they're going at it in the way that they are proves that they are demonstrating that this is something we have not seen before. It's usually hard to make anything good happen in the world because you have to, no matter how sensible it is, no matter how much it manifests care, even then there's resistance. Even then it takes connecting all the dots. But when you start out with magical thinking that you can just go charging through everything that's ever been, all the legislation, all the forms, all the resistance in the courtrooms, all the civil suits. Let's just take the bathroom as an example. You have a thing in any research protocol called a false positive. Well, I go to church every Sunday and I look at all the people in the church, and I look at the people and I don't see a whole lot of difference between the men and the women. And sometimes it's even hard for me. I said, if you changed a couple little things or changed a different hat, a different this, a different that, would you know for sure what sex the people are? And I said, well, to myself, no, I don't think I would, and I ought to be good at this by now. And what that's telling me is there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be clocked as a man in a woman's restroom, and there's going to be a lot of very irate people that are going to say, who, I want to speak to the manager. I have never been so insulted in my life. In other words, all the agony that we go through with misgendering is something that happens to other people if they get misgendered. The only thing that makes our civilization work is that people don't get in everybody else's business. But when you start getting into everybody else's business on intimate levels, there's going to be problems. But let's look at other things. What are the other things that could happen? The fact of the more they pay attention to us, the more they increase our visibility. When the AIDS crisis broke out, the big problem was, and it motivated the entire ACT UP organization to say, how do we get sufficient visibility that people will notice that we're dying out here and we need to speed up these protocols? So everything about ACT UP was to get attention. Now we're in an interesting position. We don't have to work about getting attention. They're doing it for us. But they're doing it in such a clumsy way and in such a retro way and in such an unworkable way to try to go back in time and kind of recreate a 1950s America, which is their dream. Sorry, you could get all the poodle skirts you want and all the saddle shoes and all the hula hoops, and it's still not going to make it 1950. And they're going to fail on bigger issues. They're going to fail on the economy. They're going to fail on jobs. They're going to fail on inflation as suddenly the tariffs go into effect and the prices start to climb. And that's going to cause a lot of discontent amongst the people that voted for Trump. So no matter how you look at it, this is going to be chaotic. And this time, chaos actually kind of is working for us because we're not standing alone this time. They are throwing such a wide loop, they're going to step on more toes than ours. And when they do that, there's going to be resistance. And I think our wisest choice is to follow the draft and let the draft pull us along. We don't have to be the leaders in this thing. We just have to let them manifest what their evil spirit is that animates them. And they look ridiculous when they do it. And nothing makes people more resistant than having other people telling them what to do. We're still kind of sold on the idea that America is a free country. And part of that idea is don't meddle in each other's affairs. Don't get involved. And so a lot of the things that they're doing, especially when it's overtly racist, overtly sexist, overtly anti-child, there's going to be pushback. A lot of, for instance, the standards of care. If all of a sudden they say any doctor that follows the standards of care is going to be, or maybe forfeit their medical license. But then the problem is that the standard of care manifests something different, then they get sued in civil court for malpractice. What that's going to mean is a lot of doctors are going to say, I can't take certain patients, or I can't practice in this state. And there's going to be a lot of states that are already underpaying their doctors that are going to notice that there's suddenly a lot fewer doctors around, just like there are grocery stores that are not in certain neighborhoods because it doesn't pay. It doesn't, you can't possibly do enough business to justify the volumes that you have to sell. So that's the hopeful side. What's the other side? The other side is it's heartbreaking to witness. And I think for a little while we were feeling our own oats. We were like way, way confident. Everything's going our way. We're getting more and more allies every day. Kamala Harris is doing such a splendid job, and she's running a great campaign and has actual plans for a better world. And this is going to be so fantastic. So my personal first reaction was absolute. I was prepped for it, because I tend to anticipate disaster more than the other way around. But at the same time, I felt like someone had hit me physically in the stomach and tromped all over me. And it took me days to get rid of that physiological response. And for at first I said, well, I'm not going to be driven out of my own country, so I'm not going to leave. And the second one, I said, well, what if I just basically just turn off my phone, never watch YouTube, just don't even pay attention. But then I said, no, I can't do that, because this is going to hurt too many people. So I said, like it or not, I'm going to have to be involved, but I have to know my limitations. And I think that's the therapeutic advice that we can all do for each other. This is going to force us to be a tighter community. When you're under attack, that's when you start caring about each other more. And we're going to have to be smart. We're going to have to take our friends where we can find them. We're going to have to learn networking skills. We will be a stronger community if we make it through these next, especially the next 2 years. If it's as big a disaster as I think, I would like to think the midterms will change. But this was across the board. Let's not fool ourselves that this was not the popular vote. It was. And every demographic, from suburban women to Latino voters, to young men voters, precise, and the black voters, exactly the people that you would think would say, golly, I don't want anything to do with Trump, still voted for him. Now, are we just really dumb? Maybe, but I think it's something else. I think it's despair. I think people are stalled out in their lives and they're not making progress. And their attitude was, at least he's promising change. Even if it's messed up change, at least it's change. Because in other words, they hate their lives the way they are now. That's why people go out and buy lottery tickets, even though there's almost no chance of really actually winning the lottery. It's like somehow or other, it appeals to them to think, I'm one lottery, winning lottery ticket away from being the equal of Trump and all the other billionaires, instead of saying, No, that's not where my strength comes from. I don't have to be a billionaire. I just need to be a decent person in a decent neighborhood and connect up with people. But somehow or other, Trump's familiarity has led them to believe that somehow or other they're Trump's equal and he's a savior figure, and they think he's just like me, therefore I must be just like him. Now that's completely illogical, but I think that's strange. Mental thing is what's in back of him winning the election.
Well, what do you think, Nicolette? We haven't heard from you in a little while.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's very strange that in this past election, I thought it was so obvious to even people who are on the fence that, like, you know, there is a lesser of two evils here. Even if you didn't completely agree with Kamala, You know, it seemed to me that it was obvious she was a better choice than Trump. And then I saw so many people being like, well, I just don't really like her or him, so I'm just not going to vote at all. And I just couldn't understand that. And I guess the only explanation I can come up with is in this scenario, the louder side is the one who won. It wasn't even necessarily that there are more Trump supporters. It's just that the Trump supporters were loud and, motivated enough that they went and made sure that he won, while people who were on the fence just decided to give up and not even try. And I'm worried about how that parallel is going to play out in our looming future. Like, what if there's a lot of cis people who might otherwise be allies to trans people, but they've just kind of given up and they're not going to do anything to fight against the transphobes. We need our allies more than ever right now. And I know that like I've gotten to the point where I'm almost considering just going back into the closet because I'm so tired of dealing with the transphobes. You know, they're just becoming louder and louder now. They're being more and more unafraid to just voice what they think. They're willing to straight up attack trans people and target us and go after us. But then at the same time, I think that if I were to go back into the closet, I would just be signaling to other trans people, just give up. Don't even try to fight back. And I know I need to set a better example than that. I think we all need to set a better example than that. But we also need the same thing from our allies.
Yeah. Well.
One other thing, I think that a lot of the assumption that trans people can just be disappeared is really not realistic. A lot of people are post-op, for one thing, and a lot of people have changed their birth certificates, and there's a lot of privacy issues involved. In other words, you have to change a lot of laws that have spillover effects upon other non-trans people in order to come after us. It's not as easy as they think. Now, they're putting people in there also that have to deal with massive bureaucracies with no prep whatsoever to how to do the job. They've never run a government organization. They've never run a bureaucracy. They don't understand the language that's spoken by the scientists. They don't understand how to coordinate people's needs. In other words, to just put somebody in charge of something, I mean, just imagine any of us. Just what if somebody said, had gone the other way and said, here, Sheila, we're going to appoint you to run this whole bureaucracy. I'd say, well, guys, I hate to say this, but I'm a good writer, but I don't think I know how to do this. How long do you plan on training me, let alone expect instant results? And that's the weirdest thing of all. These people are not going to give them a lot of time to do this. They've promised so much, all that day one talk. Sorry, it's going to be a lot harder than they think.
Yeah, they're just a lot of it's just talk. I mean, I think part of what I see going on is that there's not a recognition that there's a balance of powers and that we live in a government in which rights are distributed. You know, power is distributed in our country from the neighborhood level to the city municipality to the state level and the federal level. And it's also distributed in the private sector. So power doesn't just rest with the federal government or with the executive. It's and government is it's something that is also distributed across states, municipalities, and regions. And so it's not something that you can just snap your, I mean, people think that the kind of fascist, autocratic dictations that Trump is making are the word of some sort of an executive, like a CEO or something, who just kind of snaps his fingers and everybody in the business has to do what he says. But it doesn't work that way. I mean, our military doesn't work that way. Our healthcare system doesn't work that way. Our system of distributing benefits doesn't work that way. Our judicial system doesn't work that way. None of these things are easy tools to simply bend to your ideology, because there's a lot of interests at the table, because this is a country of literally millions and millions of people, and we're trying to have a government that represents the interests of all those people. And so there's just this propaganda. This is a lot of what you're seeing is just propaganda. That's all it is. It's just it's the art of propaganda. It's something that Trump learned from Roy Cohn, who is also a master at this, and he's, used it quite skillfully. I mean, he's a propagandist. That's pretty much what he is. I remind people that, he did not win by that much. I mean, he didn't get 144 million votes and Kamala Harris got 0 votes. He got 72 million votes and Kamala Harris got 68 million votes. That means that he only got about 1 to 2% more than her.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that that's, basically what I was going at with, it wasn't even necessarily that Trump has just this massive, massive following. It's that he has this cult. It is a rather large cult, but this cult is just, that brainwashed and that loud and that motivated, that they're the ones who took over just because there weren't enough people willing to fight back to stop them. But I think that, because it's such a narrow lead in high in perspective, I think that that does show we have a fair amount of people on our side. So I guess there is promise there. There is hope there.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much of work. So part of what I think we're going to be doing here on the radio show, like I said, assuming the radio show is still here for the next 4 years, because you never know with KABU what's going to happen. But if the radio show is here for the next 4 years, which I hope it is, then what we're going to be doing is we're going to be bringing in people, as we have for the last 10 years. We're going to be bringing in people who are policy wonks, people who are leaders, people who know the ins and outs of very minutiae, very specific parts of our rights that they're trying to attack, just like we have for the last 10 years. I mean, if you look back at the history of this show for the last 10 years, we've had in the leader of the National Center for Transgender Equality on several occasions, and also the remake of the organization now is the new organization that it is. We've had leaders from that organization on. We've had elected officials on. We've had people come in and talk about trans sports. We've had people come in and we've done lots of shows on trans youth. We've done shows on accessing health care. We've done shows on, every, we've done shows on the military. We've done shows on, every aspect that we could think of for how transgender people are trying to live their lives and the ways in which, the broader society either supports us or tries to hinder the exercising of our rights. And we'll continue to do that, as long as there's at least two or three of us who are willing to broadcast, we'll continue to do that and we'll continue to track this. And what really excites me, I mean, this is maybe my bet the benefit of my perspective as a transgender older person. And maybe you can say this too, Sheila. Maybe you could say this to Nicolette, even though you're not an older person, but you've been around a while. So, even just 10 years ago, I mean, I just remind people, it was just 10 years ago that transgender people were able to start accessing public health care in order to, get services. Before that time, most of us went to the black market to get our medications, or we tried to get something through an insurance company, or we did without. I mean, it was only like 10 or 15 years ago that transgender people really even started to have rights. Now, in that 10 years, in that 10 or 15 years that our rights have expanded so dramatically, we have done so much with that. We have created organizations, we have created institutions, we have created advocacy, we have gotten elected to public office. And so we're much better prepared now for the blowback that's coming our way. And I would argue that the blowback that's coming at us right now is because of our success. It's not because we're just the canary in the coal mine. It's because we've been successful. We've actually been a very successful movement. We've been strategic, we've been organized, we've been motivated, and we've accomplished a lot with very little. I mean, there's not a lot of people getting paid to do advocacy for transgender people. And it's not something that there's a lot of glamour in. People are doing this because it's about their personal rights and they're extremely motivated. And there has been this blossoming of culture around trans issues. And we're experiencing a blowback unlike anything that we've ever seen before. But I mean, I think it's because we've pushed so hard and we've gotten so much. We've accomplished a lot. Of course, we still have a long ways to go and we've lost a lot of ground, but that ground is something that we can recover our rights. I mean, we can do it, but it's going to take time. And, we're going to lose a few rights. We're going to lose a lot of rights, and it's going to be hard. And we really need to be prepared, I mean, it's going to be hard for people who are trying to get health care right now and are just about to experience the denial of care. It's going to be really hard for them. And like you've said, Nicolette, there is already, as we see, an increase in hate crimes, in violent rhetoric, and in activity that basically supports white Christian nationalism. And that's the kind of thing that Trump really motivates. I mean, we saw it in his first election. We saw how he brought out groups like Patriot Prayer and a lot of racists and a lot of transphobes and people who are very much on the extreme, and they feel empowered by his rhetoric. And we need to watch out for those people because there's probably going to be more hate crimes committed against gender variant people because of Trump. So.
Well, one of the things is that I wanted to resist to get it into a program. I've always been a big fan of ACT UP. I've always been real proud of Gay Men's Health Crisis that organized with a handful of people when the government ignored AIDS for years until 1985. And I'm going to share them all because I'm putting it into a book I'm bringing out now, and it's in the foreword to the book. And here are my magic words. It's easy to say resist, but I want to go deeper than that. So my first word instead of resist is to get the idea across that how we stop things is we have to do what's the equivalent. When people are staging a protest and they just go limp, it takes three people to carry away a limp human body. It's actually easier than if you resist. If you just go limp, they have to bear all the weight. And I think that's something we should do. We should try to say, just let the lethargy of trying to get their little magic agenda, let them try, but just go limp. Don't cooperate. Don't make it easier for them. So that's my first thought. The second thing is to continue. So the idea is we want to continue with our resistance. We want to be able to say we're going to do it all the time, every way we can. So we're going to frustrate them because almost everything they do is hurting someone, even if it isn't us. So what we want to do is we want to sit there and network, and we want to link arms, and we want to be not just a dead weight, but we also want to do something positive. And the last thing is to not lose contact with who we are as people. We have to continue to live our lives. We can't just turn away from everything. We have to somehow realize that we can't give it every single second of our day. We have to develop skills of self-care so that we don't do anything to tear our bodies down, our minds down, or spirits down, or our relationships down. So we have to adopt a therapeutic modality for everything that we do each day. And we do it not just for ourselves, but we do it for each other and for our community. And by doing that, we bear witness that we're good people and that we're something that have a lot to offer. It's going to be costly. When you sit there and flush competence away and flush competent people out of their jobs, that has massive social costs. And there's going to be dollars and cents that have to be assigned to that. And when they begin to realize what it's going to cost, for instance, this idea of deporting 20 million people, that is going to be something. Try to get a visual about that. Try to picture people being dragged out of their jobs, out of their neighborhoods, and suddenly consigned to concentration camps. You think there's not going to be people noticing that? Is there not going to be on the nightly news a lot of cell phones, a lot of uploadings of what that looks like? People crying, people distressed, neighbors outraged. You know, that's where they're going to fail. Is they think that everybody thinks like them, and not everybody does.
Yeah, you know, I can't count the number of bigots, like especially transphobes, that have said, oh, well, this is just common sense. This is just basic science. Scientists agree with us. Everyone thinks this. And that's just not the truth. You know, we have biologists and psychologists and sociologists and doctors all backing trans people. And we just have these uneducated transphobes who likely haven't even been to college and don't know what they're talking about, just thinking that they know everything because maybe they took a ninth grade biology class and that tells them everything they need to know. Or at least that's what they think. And I think that's why they are so determined to try and wipe us out of existence, because they think that being trans is some new phenomenon, that we're just brainwashing people into believing that they're trans, when the reality is we've existed for basically as long as humanity has. You know, there's documented evidence of trans people existing thousands of years ago. You know, we've always been here, and that's because we just are this way. We are born this way. And so as much as they try and stop us from transing the kids, you know, and claiming that we're just brainwashing the kids into thinking they're trans, that's not the way it works, you know. And maybe those of us who are a little older, I mean, I'm not that old, I'm in my 30s, but, you know, when I was growing up in the 90s in a rural conservative area that didn't talk about LGBT related stuff at all, I still knew at 5 years old that I was trans. This is why it's supported by biology. It is something innate. It is something that we are just kind of born with. And it's not a choice. It's not anything that can be brainwashed into you. It's not something you can be taught. It's just the way we are. And that's why no matter how hard they try to stop us from existing, we're not going anywhere. Just because even if you were to successfully make us be completely silent, make us hide in the closet, stop any sort of talk about trans people at all, trans people will still not stop existing. And that is what we have to remember. We have always been here, and we will always be here.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left, and in the last 5 minutes, I just wanted to kind of give people a taste of what we're going to be doing for some of our upcoming shows. And I want to kind of close, at least my part of the contribution to our conversation, by talking about a document that's been put out by transequality.org, and it's called the Trans Legal Survival Guide. And you can go to the website transequality.org, and you can download it. And it's a really great document. It tells you about what to do if you have a criminal record and you're transgender, what to do about naturalization if you're an undocumented person living in this country and you're transgender. It talks about healthcare power, power of attorney, and advance directives, which are all really important to consider if you're trans or non-binary. It talks about how to do your name and gender marker change, how to deal with issues like divorce, how to deal with adoption, end of life planning, and finding legal help. So it's a really great document. I would definitely encourage you to go to transequality.org right now and download the Transgender Legal Survival Guide. The other thing that I would encourage people to do right now is also go to the website Erin in the Morning. That's Erin, the Morning, Themorning. Erin Reed is a transgender journalist who does by far the best coverage, ongoing coverage of issues nationally that affect transgender non-binary people. She's a professional journalist. She has great work and she's covering everything. She's on top of everything. So it's kind of like the New York Times for trans people. So I definitely encourage you to go to Erin in the Morning to find out and keep up with what's going on in the transgender community. And of course, stay tuned to Trans Positive and stay tuned to KABU because KABU is a great resource at these times for everything, including, every other way in which we're going to be fighting for our rights as a country.
Thank you for sharing that, Emma.
Yeah. And like I said, we've got a couple of minutes left. So if either of you has any closing comments, this would be a good time to make it.
Well, I'd like to return to the personal because, after all, we're not just a movement. We are individuals, and we have to deal with our specific relationships, our job, our living situation, and some of us are in slightly different positions than others, and I think it's important for group solidarity to be aware that we're all different ages, all different socioeconomic statuses, different relationships to the religious communities that we're part of if we are. And so all these factors can sometimes isolate us and make us impervious to the life experience of other transgender folk. So I've always been a great believer in group solidarity, communication, not isolating, learning from the past, knowing when you've done everything you can and need a break. Some of those just everyday therapeutic tips is more important in the next couple of years than they've ever been before. But the fact that we've gone through, each of us and as a community, as much as we have, proves that we've built a certain amount of endurance through that process. This is where we draw on those skills and draw on that life experience. Say, if I made it through that, I can make it through this. So those are my thoughts for tonight.
So thank you everyone here for sharing your thoughts on all these recent events. You've been listening to Trans Positive. And so thank you everyone for being here. Thank you to everyone who listened tonight. Have a good night. And we will see you next time.
Transgender people don't live here.
I've never met anyone who's transgender.
I swear I don't know someone who's transgender.
Transgender and non-binary people like me hear this all the time.
But according to the HRC Foundation, there are more than 2 million transgender people in the United States.
We live in every community across this country.
You might be surprised to hear that there are more transgender and non-binary people in the United States than there are
Starbucks, McDonald's, and Walmart locations combined.
In fact, if you put us all together,
there'd be more non-binary and transgender folks than the populations of DC,
or Nebraska,
or Maine,
or Idaho,
or West Virginia.
As a matter of fact, 15 states have a lower population than the amount of trans folks in the US.
So here are a few things to keep in mind.
You don't always know when a person is trans.
But we're your neighbors,
your coworkers,
your students,
your customers,
and even your friends and family.
We exist in every culture, todas las culturas, throughout human history.
And while we're more visible than ever before,
sometimes you just don't see us.
So when you hear about politicians pushing forward discriminatory bills,
know this, these bills address problems that aren't even real.
Problems that don't actually exist.
But we do.
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 And we need your support.
Hi, this is Emma. I am a co-host of Transpositive. At KABU, we prove every day that people-powered radio has the ability to bring us together across distances and give us hope when we feel despair. Your friends at KABU want to remind you that generosity has the same power. Join thousands of KABU supporters from all around the world, and let's rally together to build stronger communities. If you can, just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to this number 44321. And thanks so much for your support of KBOO Community Radio. Bedroom surprise.